Blog Talk Radio.
To the Healing Light Show, and this is Reverend Stan and Frank Moxon. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great tonight, Stan. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. We're going to be talking about why your prayers may feel like they're falling bricks. I know there are some times that we're out here on the street and we're praying for the sick, and we're praying for family at home, or it could be at church, you know, praying for some people. And there's just that one couple that every time you pray, not much stuff happens, and you're just scratching your head and trying to figure out what's going on. You know, am I right with the Lord? You know, am I saying right words? Am I really baptized in the Holy Spirit? What's going on here? I mean, you just wonder, am I a failure in praying for people? I mean, it's just all these things rolling through your mind, and your carnal mind is just going for a race. And we're going to talk about that today and let you know, it's not you. You know, it's not you. It could be a million different things. And then again, it could be some stuff that you're going through too. But most of the time, it's not the person that's praying, because you're just an instrument. It's just the person putting up walls and stuff like that. And it's just many different things that we can run into. Frank, have you ever dealt with anything like this before?
Oh, absolutely. Even in some of the early ministry situations that I would find myself in, it's usually it's our first recourse, it's our first response, that if something isn't going right, or we don't feel like it's like anything is working, or we're getting the kind of results that we're looking for, invariably our first response is to begin doubting ourselves, to begin doubting maybe the anointing, or like you said, if we're really baptized in the Holy Spirit, because you don't see anything happening with the person, or you don't feel anything happening going through yourself. So it's a very natural response. Fortunately, there are other believers, other disciples of Jesus that have been in situations like that. So I think this is a great topic. I'm really glad that you decided that this is something that we wanted to cover this evening, because I know a lot of people really are looking for some kind of guidance and information on how to deal with this. I know one particular example from my own personal ministry is where I've been in a situation. In fact, it was just last week, last Sunday, that we had a situation with an individual, and the person had, you know, a very serious medical condition, and it was something. It wasn't like it was a surprise or an accident or anything, but there was. I had some doubts, even if, you know, I'm going to use the word qualified, like if I was really qualified to be the one that was going to minister to this person, because they were scheduled for surgery, you know, coming up real soon, and I kind of felt like I was between the rock and the hard place, like, and I, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe I ought to get somebody more experienced, or maybe I ought to get somebody that, you know, I think might do a better job. You know, all of those kind of human doubts and things that we typically go through when we're thinking about this with our own reasoning. And, well, fortunately, none of that worked out. So I ended up ministering to the person. And thank God I did, because the Lord just shows up, you know, when you step out in faith. And it's not that we're qualified or we're not qualified, or that it's not working for us. He's the one that does the work. We're his medium. We're his channel. We're the one that he's working through. We just need to step out in faith and trust him. And sometimes it's just that stepping out that really is really what the Lord is looking for.
Amen. I know I was talking to a really well-known healing evangelist, and we was all sitting at the table, and he was talking about, you know, how he first got into healing evangelism. The Lord just bestowed this gift. Well, he prayed for a lot of people for a very long time, and he saw nothing. I mean, he prayed and prayed, and he just brought his bravery out, and really prayed for a lot of people and saw nothing. And he's watching this video, or this YouTube video from this other evangelist. And he watched how he prayed for him and all this stuff. And after that night, he's like, tomorrow, I feel like tomorrow is going to be the day that my praying is going to change. I just feel the Holy Spirit's going to do something. Since I've saw this, I feel like I'm equipped. You know, I feel like I'm going to go do something. So he hit the streets first thing that evening and started praying for people. And people was getting healed like crazy. I mean, every time he touched somebody, somebody got healed. And this actually went on for 1 or 2 years. Everybody that he touched got healed. No matter what it was just like Jesus stuff happening constantly. And it got to a point where he built up his ego so big that he was Mr. Miracle Man, and he was just going around, and he put Jesus last, but he put his miracles and his what he thought was superpowers up before God.
Uh-oh.
So one day he was lining all these people up, and he's going to watch that leg pop out as soon as he touched it, and nothing happened. And then he went, something's wrong here. Jesus always works. What's going on here? So he brought another lady up, prayed for her, and nothing happened. And then automatically doubt rushed through his head like, what's going on? I mean, nothing's going on here. And it went on for a while. And somehow he thought Jesus is just turns on a switch and lets you go. But he didn't know that Jesus is the person or is the being that's sending this Holy Spirit through you. He controls this. He knows what to do with it. He knows when to turn it on. He's overlooking everything you're doing, but he didn't realize this. He thought it was just like a switch that was turned on, and he can go and do whatever, live any lifestyle he wanted to and just do what he wanted to. But anyway, the switch got turned off real quick. So he got very depressed that, you know, the Lord didn't love him no more. I mean, he started falling back in his old lifestyle, and he was fixing to go and drink alcohol.
Yeah.
And before he went in to get the alcohol beverage, he just thought he'd pray for somebody right quick because he just thought the Lord just gave up on him. So he saw a lady outside the liquor store, and he prayed for her leg, and she got healed. She got healed instantly. And what the Lord was doing, he was showing him submission to the Lord and putting him first. And then the healings come. Now, the biggest thing is you got to know who the healer is. You never was. He always was.
Right. That's right.
he always was. You never was. So he's using you for a vessel. You ain't the superpower. The Lord Jesus Christ is the superpower. The Father's working through. He is our door.
Yeah.
And the door can be slanted a little bit when we get the big head. So the Lord kind of opened his eyes by showing him, making him humble, and showed him to be humble towards people. Love people as he did. This is not some superpower. This is revealing God to people and showing love to people. And then after that happened, he cried. He said, Lord, he said, you never have left me. You're just teaching me to be humble, teaching me to be humble. So there's going to be periods where he's going to teach you humbleness. He's always there to supply what you need. He's always there to supply what you need. And this guy kept on saying, he said, man, he said, you know, all these people walking in the power of God, but he said, I got the white stallion. I got everything at one time given to me, and I didn't know how to handle it, is what he said.
Yes.
I didn't know how to handle it. And he said, it got plumb weird. He said, I didn't know how to handle it until, you know, God had to turn it down a little bit and show him humbleness first. And sometimes he holds back a little bit to teach us to humble us. I know Todd White talks about, in all of his videos talking about, you know, I prayed for 300 to 400 people before the first man got healed. Okay? And it was humbling Todd to the point where God can use him for good, not because of his superpower.
That's right. In fact, I recently just heard there was an episode on Sid Roth's show where the praying medic was on there. And that's very similar to the experiences that he had. You know, he had certain encounters with God where he was led into the healing ministry. Of course, he was already like an EMT medic, so so that, I mean, he ran, he came, in his course of his work, he came into contact with a lot of sick people and injured people just day to day. So he said he went through like 300, 400 people that he prayed for, and absolutely nothing happened. But the Lord just kept giving him dreams at night and showing him situations. And in the dream, the person was healed, but when he actually went through it, he didn't see the kind of manifestation that he had been seeing in the dreams until finally, you know, like you said, finally it clicked. And then people started getting healed, and I think he was talking, not that you keep numbers or anything on something like this, but he's, you know, he says like about 80% of the people that he prays for get healed. And you also said something else that I really want to kind of underline. You said that this experienced evangelist, he was going through really long prayers. And one of the things that I've learned from listening, first of all, to people who are more experienced in healing ministries than I am, and they almost invariably, they will say, don't give long prayers. That's not the way to do it. Your prayers are short. They're command-based prayers. And you follow the lead of the Holy Spirit completely in your ministry for people in a healing ministry. He's the one. He will show you exactly what to do, what to say. And then finally, he'll tell you when to keep your mouth shut and let him work with people. Now, of course, there are exceptions to that. I mean, there's one example that Randy Clark, I remember he was talking about at a recent conference that my wife and I went to, where he had one of the people on his ministry team was, this was down in Brazil, and they were praying for a man. She prayed for that man for over 5 hours. He was blind. He was had some very serious burn when he was a young boy. So like, I think it was like 30 years the man had been blind completely, couldn't see a thing. And she prayed for that man for over 5 hours, you know, just over and over and over again. The word persistence is important in the healing ministry, as you know. And she just kept praying for the man until finally they had to leave because they were going to go to another city for the next day. So they had to pack up everything, get on the bus, and go. So 2 days later, the pastor called and said the man could see everything. It was just, he was completely healed from that. It was the most incredible miracle that they had ever seen in that town there in Brazil. So mostly we want to stay with short prayers, being led completely by the Holy Spirit, let him change the direction during a ministry time with a person in healing ministry. But at the same time, you don't want to, you know, there's the healing line that we've all seen and kind of been involved with. I know that mm-hmm. Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and people like that, they, you know, that's how they did it. I mean, that's just the way they did it. So you kind of grow up that way and see, oh, well, that's the way they do it, so that must be the way I should do it. Well, the important part is that you keep working with the person to get results. That's why you're there. And very frequently, in fact, Praying Medic said this a number of times, he said he'll pray for people once, twice, three times, seven times, 15 times. He may have to repeat the commanding prayer that he's using to command the illness or command the eyes to open, command the ears to open, before he'll start to see results. And that's where people lose their faith a lot of times. If they don't see it happen maybe the first time or second time, they say, well, maybe it's not going to work today, or maybe it's not going to work for this person. That's not true at all. You have to be persistent, and you have to realize that we have the authority of Jesus' name. He gave us his name to use in all situations, and he's the one that backs
Amen.
Us up. He's the one that backs
Amen.
Us up. So,
yeah, so that's kind of neat. We'll be right back, and I'm going to go ahead and play You're Good by Bethel Music.
Everybody, we're coming right back from break, and we're talking about why your prayers may feel like they're falling bricks. And like I said, we all have these problems where we run into that one person and we have, you know, tremendous problems with that prayer. And I do want to really put out there, and a lot of ministers don't do this, there's two different ways of walking in anointing. One, we are giving authority over, you know, over demons, over sicknesses. We're given authority by Christ, and that authority that we use when you're actually saved can use for sickness. You can use your authority to command sickness to leave. You can use your authority to command demons to leave, and they have to obey in Jesus' name. They have to obey. And that's only, you know, when you're using these commands, you got to use Jesus' name because that's where the power is coming from. But there's another step of getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that opens a whole lot more doors. A lot of people prefer to be – there's some people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and don't speak in tongues. I've saw people like that. But most of the time, you're actually speaking in tongues. And the speaking in tongues kind of activate your spiritual body is what I've experienced. And once you speak in tongues, other gifts will open up because that's just the way it works. But that there is an indication that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit when you speak in unknown tongues. And that's one thing I would like to get out. You know, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you need to be saved. There's some people that has actually prayed for people, like with street evangelists, and, you know, they've not done anything. They're just showing that the power of God works for everybody. It does for a certain amount of time, because you're around that healing evangelist, and you're kindly working off of his faith, off of his anointing. You're working off his anointing. That's only to get yours kick started, basically. It's only to get yours kick started where you can start working in it too. Not for you to hire the guy to walk around with you where you can pray for people. That's kind of that's not smart. But you want to, you know, get saved by Jesus Christ, you know, make him your Lord and Savior, not just where you can pray for people, but where you will save yourself from damnation and have a Savior to recreate your life. And, you know, then you would want to pray for baptism of the Holy Spirit. As it says in the Bible, you know, somebody that already has it can pray for baptism, and they can, you know, pray for it over you, and you can receive it. And that's one thing a lot of people get confused in some Baptist churches and all. They believe that you got to pray for days and days and days, and maybe, you know, he will give it to you that way. But it does say, you know, that Peter and, you know, a lot of disciples would baptize people in the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands. So somebody that already has been baptized in the Holy Spirit can pray and transfer it by laying on of hands. That I've done that a lot, and a lot of other evangelists have done this. So you can receive it in that way. And sometimes the Lord could use somebody that's already baptized for it just to fall, you know, just hit them, just come off of them and activate. And I've saw people get activated off of television. They'll be watching a show and they'll be praying, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit hits them. That is possible. The Holy Spirit hit me off a YouTube video by watching Todd White and touched me in my life and got me going. And I've been prayed for by bunches of people that really got me going. So it's just not that. It's you willing to go out and pray for another person. It's you willing to go out and pray for another person. And then, you know, once you show God, hey, I want to pray for that person, he'll start activating you. He will give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit to send you on your way. Everybody I've ever talked to has said, I prayed and prayed for people, and then one day I received this heat, and I could pray for people, and all type of things happen. I mean, all type of stories like that. But we're going to get back to why there's some prayers on people that don't work. First of all, you've got to look at the person that you're praying for. First of all, the person has their free will. You cannot pray over the person's free will. If they're saying through their mouth that they want healed, but internally they don't receive it. Okay? If you have somebody that I'll say is on disability, and you're praying for them, and they're saying inside, I don't want this healing, they won't receive it. They've got to be all in. They've got to be all in for it, for them to receive it. They may be saying, you know, oh, I don't know why it don't work, but internally they know. So it could be that problem. There is people that's addicted to pain medication, and they need their medication to get their fix sometimes, and sometimes that causes pains in your body. If you have a addiction, it can cause pains in your body, and you can get that one healed, and before you know it, you get another one. It's not really a sickness; it's more of a addiction. There is other diseases that does cause that, and you can pray for that and get rid of that. But you've got to see what all this person has going on with them. It could be they may need a deliverance. It could be many different things that can cause this. It can even be to a point where this may be a slow healing process. Now, the Lord don't say lay hands and they will recover right off. It says lay right. Hands and the sick shall recover. He don't have a time limit. There's a lot of people that walk away from the Lord. After miles down the road, they got healed. There's some instances, as soon as they walked away, they got healed. It wasn't an instant thing. There was a lot of people that got healed instantly, too. Okay. I have found out through my healing ministry and how I do healing ministries on the radio too, but around in my community, you know, at church, you know, I pray for people. It's just my everyday habit. And at first when I would pray for people, I would used to hunt for people to pray for. The more you get mature in it, the less you'll do that. You'll start looking more away. Christ did it. Christ would only hunt for people that the Father would tell him to go to. The Father would tell him to go here and go there. But I never saw the Lord really go, you know, chasing people down. He never did do that. Most of the time they came to him. They came to him and he, you know, delivered healing to them. So the more you get seasoned in this, the more people will come to you and you don't have to chase people down or you know, do things like that. But it's a maturing process when you're going in this. I know when I first started, I would pray for everybody, even the cat, anybody I would pray for. That was just my thing. That's what I would do. I was praying for animals. I was praying for my wife. I was praying for everybody. I mean, I saw things get healed. I saw cats. Animals get healed. I saw my wife get healed. I mean, I saw other things. And there's another thing. There are some people who have problems praying for their family. The reason why some people have problems praying for their family, they know them too good. As soon as you pray for them, they're thinking of you when you was 5 years old, when you shot that window out, and it's like, that little boy thinks he could heal me. No, he can't. So that puts a block up. You see?
Same things that Jesus ran into when he went back to his hometown of Nazareth. You know, he was speaking with authority, and people were beginning to believe that, you know, maybe this really could be the Messiah that they had been told about, that they had been seeking and listening and waiting for. And then all of a sudden somebody stands up and says, wait a minute, isn't this Jesus? We know him. We know who he was like when he was a little boy. And then after that, I mean, there was only, well, the scripture says that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. That's really one of the first times that we see where Jesus had to lay hands on people. Previously, before that, he would frequently just by decree or just by a word, you know, he would heal people. So that shows you what you're, that's proof right there too, Stan, of, you know, what you're saying, that that's really important, that sometimes it's almost better that you don't know the people that you're trying, that you're praying for.
Yeah, it makes it more real to them, and it kind of opens them up. And one thing is the difference between God and the enemy healing people. I never known the enemy to heal anybody, but anyway, God, the Lord Jesus, he is a gentleman. He will not do anything that a person don't want. He won't. He just won't do that. I've saw this thousands of times. He will not do anything that you don't want him to do. It's always your free will that is very important to him. Is your choice is what he's looking for. If your choice is for him not to heal you, he won't. If your choice is for him to heal you, he will. Okay. There's people that goes to doctors. Okay. That is their choice. They don't pick. I mean, God works through the doctors at times, you know. We know that. But sometimes people have their minds concentrating on their medicine. I'm talking about regular medicine, not nobody addicted to anything, but just their medicine and their doctors. And that is them, you know, that is their choice. And a lot of times people pick that, and that's fine. I mean, I have no problem with that. But it could be a holdup on prayers. They get their belief system hooked up in that. But if you have somebody with just a seed of openness, you know, just a mustard seed of faith, you can see all type of things that happen. If you ever see evangelist program, they always talk about the testimonies. The testimonies bring up faith in people. And that's what really starts popping miracles out, because people's like, hey, that might happen to me, you know. And then that door is open, and the Lord can transform them, save them, on top of things he could do for him, because there's a little door open. When you start talking about, you know, hey, my friend got healed of cancer, and, you know, all this is going to open up a door for them, and they can receive the same healing. But it's the willingness for you to receive. I saw more healings with people that was so desperate that didn't have insurance that I saw from anywhere. They had no other choice, and the Lord would heal them instantly, boom, because they was needing, and they're completely trusting on him. And stuff like that happens every day. But there's some
people. Well,
that's
one of the reasons, too, I think, why we see so many instant healings and just hundreds of people at meetings in Central America, South America, you know, some of the developing countries that they don't have the medical institutions that we do have here in the United States. They don't have all the things, and they haven't been, frankly, just raised up in a culture where anything that whatever's wrong with you, just go to the doctor, go to the hospital, and that's how you get better. But there, I know you see it too, Stan. There's so many people that we minister to right now here in our communities that they have no other choices. There is no other choice. I'd much rather minister to somebody who is in that kind of a situation, because then there are like no roadblocks. You can just minister in an environment of true faith. And like you said, a lot of people that they don't have any other option. There is no other choices that they can come to the Lord and they can receive their healing. They can receive his love, his gift, just freely. And it makes such an incredible difference in the lives of people.
Amen. The basic thing that I'm trying to get out here, anytime that you pray, there's something going to happen no matter what, whether they resist it or what, there's something going to happen. And most of the time, you're starting a war against the enemy that's been held on these people for years. And God will finish the job that you started. He always does. If you pray for that sickness to leave, and these people may resist it, but there's going to be one day that they don't resist it, and that prayer is still going to be sitting there, and God's still going to be thinking about that, and he's going to go in and transform that person's life. So if something didn't happen at that time, it will happen. But they're just resisting at that time. But there's going to be a time when they're going to crawl up, you know, cry out for the Lord. And he's going to remember that prayer that you asked him to do. He'll transform that person's life. So no matter what you do, God's going to do something, but it may be something that they're holding it back. And I'm not going to get into this thing where people say, well, you sinned and did awful things, and that's why. No, that's not always why. There is with Christians. Now, I've saw more unsaved people get healed than some Christians, because some Christians have been put in a church drama that if I did this and did that, that God won't help me, which that none of that's true. None of that is true. He loves you no matter what. But they don't realize that, and they don't understand that, so they put up a wall. Well, last week, I said something wrong to my wife, or I did this, and God ain't going to love me for that. And then when you pray for that person, he's going to be thinking about what he did, and it's going to put a block, a roadblock, and God will not go through it because the dude don't believe that he needs it. So a lot of times the Lord will guide you and ask him to ask forgiveness for that. And that's just for him to release that door block. And I know a lot of ministers, kind of like Tom Fisher said, when he put his hand on the person, his hand would get cold because that dude had unforgiveness in his soul. And he was not going to get healed deeply because his soul wasn't going to allow it, because it believed it was so guilty of everything. So when that guy would say, you know, please forgive me for what I did, and all of a sudden, boom, he gets healed, because that roadblock just fell. So sometimes that can happen. You know, if you have a Christian that you're praying for, somebody in church, nothing's happening, just say, Lord, you know, I repent for anything that I did. I repent for any unknown thing I did. You know, Lord, I just hand it all to you, all this unforgiveness I hand to you in Jesus' name. You know, remove that now. and then re-pray for him and see what happens. And most of the time, there's always a change. I mean, every time I've ever did that, I've saw the Lord move mightily on somebody. And it's, you know, it's not always you. It could be something going on with them. And I have prayed in Walmart. So I went to a Walmart in Florida back years ago, and we was walking through there, and my spotted dude at the medication counter, and I prayed, and we didn't see a lot happening, and then he's holding his pee. So I'm waiting for my pills. And there were so many other things that was going on with this guy that I had no idea. He depended on medication for a lot of things, and he didn't want to get healed. I didn't know that until later I left, and the Lord revealed some stuff to me, but he was hooked to pain medication. And he wasn't going to get healed not unless he got what he came up here for. So that could be some of the issues too, but I'm not saying everybody don't get healed is addicted to pain medication by no means, but that is one of the bumps that people run into. And there's another bump, you know, unforgiveness. It could be something in you at times. I mean, before you start praying for people, just ask the Lord, say, Lord, I repent for anything that I've done, any unknown thing. Just clear the plate before you go out. I know when I would go and hit the streets and pray, the Lord would show some unforgiveness that I'd have in my heart, and he'd want me to be a clean plate before I would go out. So he would show me these people that I'd have faults against and all that, and I would just ask the Lord, you know, say, hey, Lord, I repent for that. You know, I forgive these people. I give them to you, Lord. And all of a sudden, it, you know, what he would show me would go, and I'd be ready to go and pray. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you need to get ready before you go on the street. Just, you know, talk to the Lord. Build that communication with the Lord. That's one of the biggest things. Everybody wants to pray for people, but they don't want a relationship. It doesn't work like that. You need a relationship with the Lord. That's one of the biggest things. The bigger relationship is, the more it will show in your everyday life. In your anointing, in your praying, all that will show up. The biggest thing why I kindly got into this is because I was wanting myself changed. Healing came later because the reason I got into healing was because I had a grandmother that was sick that never would go to the doctor. We could not get her to go to the doctor. So I thought this would be one way I could pray for her or lay hands on her and watch her get well, because she would refuse to go to the doctor. So that's one of the reasons why I got into healing. And kindly charged me through to where I am today. But anyway, that was what was used on me to get me going in healing. But anyway, there's many different ways that people get led to the healing ministry. The healing ministry is great to see. Great to see God work. But a lot of people forgets about the relationship. And one of the biggest things is, when you're doing this ministry, keep your relationship up with the Lord. What do you think about that, Frank?
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely, Stan. One of the things that we find, particularly in people who are actively involved in healing ministries, is the devil really just hates the work that we're doing in the name of Jesus. He really hates that. In fact, we're told in Scripture that one of the purposes of Jesus coming to earth in his earthly ministry was to destroy the works of the devil, and those are the works that he commanded for us to do, to co-labor with him in the world. But the devil really hates that, and I know a lot of people, others that are in healing ministries also, that we will come under attack. If that's just part of the territory, I think, you know, and it's something that you have to realize that things that you do, it's kind of a side of edge of persecution too, I suppose, in the sense that people will, because of the things that we're doing in behalf of the people in our communities, they just really resist that, and for any number of reasons. But that's something that people in healing ministry should be prepared for. You know, it's not going to be an easy road by any means. I've heard people that I have a lot of respect for, you know, other ministers and well-known evangelists say that the healing ministry can be one of the most difficult, most demanding ministries of anything that you will do for the Lord Jesus. So
Amen.
You have to be prepared for that, and it's not just a matter that, well, you know, sometimes people do not get healed for all of the reasons that you've explained, but it's absolutely based on the relationship that we have with the Lord, because that's where our life flows from. It doesn't flow from anywhere else. It everything flows from Him. And when we just put everything else down and realize that we are working with Him, He's the engine. He's the one with the power that He's given us the authority to exercise in His name. It's through that relationship. If we don't have that relationship, we don't have anything.
Amen, brother. Amen. And, you know, the enemy is, I mean, once you get into this, the enemy's going to send doubt and all type of weird things towards you and for people to tear you down. But stand up to that. Don't let that tear you down, because I know when I started getting into it real hot and heavy, getting into the evangelist ministry and healing ministry, I had all type of people from everywhere attacking me. Christians attacking me, everything. Oh, he's not this. No, he's not that. And it's nothing but demonic warfare. They're using people to cut you down to get you out of it, because the devil don't want people set free. He don't want people delivered. He locks them the way they are. He just wants them to go, you know, go to their doctor's office, take their medication, and keep living in his world. That's what he wants. He don't want no interruptions in his world. He don't want that. He wants everything as usual. So when we step into the background, as Jesus did, Jesus messed his world all up when he stepped in there. And that's what we're doing. We're doing the work that Jesus left us to do. We're messing up the devil's world. We're messing up his. We're keeping him up at night. So I'm just put to you that way. And he does not like us to show what Jesus does. So he will send people your way to just create problems where he'll try to stop you. But once you show these people that nothing can stop you, they will leave you alone. You just got to go through it and let the Lord guide you. Now, there are some people who get so excited when they first get in this ministry, they're running to people, running to their houses all the time. Please, if you know a healing evangelist or a street evangelist, please ask to be trained by somebody that's done this, because, or watch some videos. There's a lot of healing videos online that teaches you and will show you the right way to approach people. I have heard of a guy that went out and started running people down to their houses. That could get you arrested. Don't do that. you know, be very careful how you approach people. Approach people in respect. If they don't respect your belief or something like that, just you was there, and the Lord Jesus is going to work on them no matter what. If you just said hey to them and they said no, you know, the Lord Jesus is going to work on them no matter what, because you opened the door for him right there. When I was out of state at a ministry school, we was praying for people in a mall. We couldn't get a lot of people to pray for. We had some that we could pray for. There's a lot that didn't. So I found a way to ask somebody if they would want the Lord Jesus to reveal himself to them. And they would take that. They wouldn't want a healing, but they just like to see what Jesus would do. So what I would do, I would just have them to say, Lord Jesus, just reveal yourself to me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit would hit them, and they could feel the presence of God on them. Their eyes would light up. They didn't want a healing, but they wanted Jesus. And when Jesus showed up, it changed everything. So I found ways around that, some of that stuff, to just introduce Jesus. And a lot of people, you know, they use healing. Healing introduces Jesus like with a bang. But sometimes Jesus can introduce himself like a bang, too, when he's on you and he's revealing himself to people. So there's all type of ways you can do that. But one thing to remember is
the Lord is always working for you. He is always working through you. You pray, something's going to happen. It may not happen then. Maybe on the way home from there it will. Just keep doing. Don't give it up. You will see something. I saw something. Frank saw something. All the people I know have saw something. It's just one thing. If there's nothing happening, he might be building up your faith. He might build, see how trustworthy you are to really open it up for you. First of all, pray for baptism of the Holy Spirit, or to go to somebody that is baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have them to pray for you. That'll help jumpstart it. A lot of these guys that prayed for 300 people never did get baptized in the Holy Spirit after they asked for it long enough. If you know somebody in your community that's baptized in the Holy Spirit, ask them to pray for you. Ask the Lord to send them to you. He will. He may send it to you without anybody. I mean, I've heard of that. You never know how he's gonna baptize you. You never know. It's always different for everybody. My wife got baptized in the joy of the Lord, or in the Holy Spirit, but received the joy of the Lord. She didn't know what it was. I did. She just laughed for hours. And then when she prays for people, she laughs all the time. So, you know, who knows? But the Lord will the Lord will hand you gifts that's correct for you. A lot of these gifts that he hands you, it could be evangelists, it could be anything in the fivefold ministry. We really don't know until we receive them. But yours may be a pastor, yours may be a teacher, yours may be evangelist, yours may be a prophet. I mean, we don't know, but the healing ministry is kind of opened up to the whole body. Everybody's fully activated for healing. You just got to practice it. And one thing that the Lord does promise in the Word is the more you do this, the more that he will give you. The more that you pray for people, the more amount of power he will hand to you. If you never pray for anybody, you pray for somebody once a year, I can about guarantee you, you ain't going to get a lot coming out at one time. But if you pray for many people, he'll bestow a lot on you. So keep praying for people. You'll see more miracles. Just don't give up. It's just you're doing his work. If you go working for a company, the company will supply you with what you need. Every time. You work for any company, they will supply you with what you need to use for your work. You're working for Jesus. You're doing his work. He will supply you with what you need. He always does. Just wait, and you will receive it. Everybody I know has received it. They have all been backed up by Christ. He's always came through. And I'm not one of these guys that's saying, please, Lord, please come through. And nothing comes through. I'm talking about he always comes through. A lot of these guys that do that, they didn't believe to begin with. They just want an instant thing for their quick fix, and then they're gone. If you're very serious about working for the Lord, he will be very serious about you and give you all that you need. He will give you all that you need. You're very serious. He'll be very serious about what you're wanting to do, and he will give you all that you need. But if it's kind of like a phase, you know, he might give you a little bit, but if you're coming in with your whole life and you're saying, hey, I'm giving all my life to evangelism, I'm giving all my life to you, Lord, I guarantee you he will show up with a bang. He always does.
You know, Stan, a moment ago, Stan, you were talking and emphasizing the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and really in any kind of ministry. And when someone receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit like that, you suddenly begin and are gifted with the other gifts of the Spirit, particularly words of knowledge and the gifts of healing and words of wisdom, and all of those begin to be activated like you said. The more you do this, the more anointing, the more gifting, the more resources that the Lord will pour into your life, because you need it. You need his power, his gifts to be able to do this effectively, because after all, we're working in his name, and we don't want to be an embarrassment to the Lord. He doesn't want us to be an embarrassment to him either. He wants wants us to be successful. He wants us to bring him glory by our works, by our actions and words, the way we live our lives. So one of the really important parts of that is that I've learned in my own ministry is the importance of words of knowledge. We've got a couple of really amazing examples where one individual was healed that had septic blood, you know, which very, I'm no doctor, physician or anything, but I know that's pretty serious, and people frequently will die when their blood becomes infected. But this was a matter of like over 6 weeks where the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that this person was going to be completely, absolutely, totally healed, and that there was nothing else needed to be said on the matter. It was settled. Well, that was my response every time, you know, the person would have a, maybe they'd take a turn for the worse or something, and they say, well, so-and-so is back in ICU. I'd say, I don't even really need to pray for that person because the Lord has given me his word that they're going to be healed, and that's all that I need to know. That's all I need to hear. We had another case of a person with pancreatitis, which also can be extremely serious, can be fatal. You know, I've known people that have died from that. Same thing. I had a dream. A word of knowledge came, and this person was showed to me very clearly. And the Lord said, I want this person. This person is going to be healed, period. That's it. There's no more discussion on that. I released that word, and that took like about 2 weeks. It was a little over 2 weeks. And it was so dramatic, too, because on one day they were just like really, really, really sick in the hospital. And the next day they went home. I mean, it was just like overnight.
Awesome.
That they just complete turnaround. That's the way the Lord works, but you've got to hang on. Like you said, Stan, you've got to hang on. You've got to keep your faith and realize that the Lord always delivers.
Amen. That's awesome. One of the biggest things when you first start doing street ministry, you know, just, you know, find somebody. The best thing to do is ask the Lord, who does he want to heal in your area? Lord, which person do you want me to go to? And you feel drawn to that person. Go to that person and say, hey, ma'am, or hey, sir, how you doing today? Do you have any pain in your body? And if they say, yes, I have pain in my body, what is your pain, sir or ma'am? And they say, well, my leg's been bothering me. Ma'am or sir, may I pray for your leg? I'm praying for people today. Lord's guiding me. Can I just pray for your leg? And we can see what happens. You know, you ain't going to lose anything. You know, you get healed or you don't, you know. Ain't nothing to lose. And a lot of times I say, sure. And just first start out with pain level, like they do in the hospital, from 1 to 10, 10 being high, 1 being low. And just pray. Put your hands on their leg and say, in Jesus' name, I command the pain to leave now, in Jesus' name. And just have them to check it. Say, between 1 and 10, where is it now? And they'll say, you know, if it was a 9, they'll say, well, maybe a 4. And just hit it again and say, in Jesus' name, I command all pain to go now, in Yeshua's name. Go now. Have them check it again. And just keep on going until it goes all the way to a 0. And I about guarantee you, and you can even go with legs, you know, just, you know, find more healing videos. They will guide you. I can't tell you everything right here, but find healing videos. They will guide you. We are having a evangelistic training in Claremont, in Maiden, North Carolina, September 25th, and we are going to be teaching this. So look up the Healing Life page and find the event for September, and we will be willing to teach you. It's all free classes. There's no charge. We're going to be having healing evangelism in the morning. We're going to be teaching it. We're going to be activating people. And then in the evening, we're going to be, you know, Dave and Patty and some of the evangelists we have are going to be praying for folks. And right beforehand, the people that went to the class is going to be giving their testimonies on what happened after they went out on lunch and prayed for people. So we are going to be asking for testimonies. So, you know, show up in September, look at the date, and just, you know, let us know if you'd like to go. You know, reserve your spot. Just click on reserve your spot, and we'd be more than happy to have y'all to show up to the event. And I think they're having an event in Hickory this weekend, ain't they, Frank?
Yes, they are. It's been called the Engage event. It's being essentially sponsored by IHT Ministries, Heath Adams, out of Hickory, a fantastic healing ministry here in Hickory, North Carolina.
Amen. And look up on IHT on Facebook and check out the dates and the times and all that, and don't miss this. You know, this is going to be a chance for you to go and do some healing evangelism too. So there's going to be a lot of people there to teach you, and just, you know, just search for this and you'll find it, I guarantee you. And just message me on Facebook. And if you want to learn more about it and you're interested, you know, maybe we can go out and pray for somebody someday if you want to. So we're always willing to train people. And if we can get a group, you know, this is all free. I don't do anything for charge like this. It's all free. And I'm just trying to build a kingdom for the Lord, as we all are. We're a nonprofit organization. So we're just trying to build the kingdom for the Lord. And if you got a group of people that would like to know healing evangelism, you know, just message the Healing Light Show, and we will get with you and see what we can do and get you activated. But if you're not close to the Hickory, Maiden, North Carolina area, you know, just look up on Facebook and find some healing evangelists on there, and I about guarantee you can find somebody that will guide you. Or nothing else, just message us, and we can talk you through this, what to do, what to expect, things like that. We'll be more than willing to help you. We want everybody to be activated in the streets and sharing the power and the love of God to people. And I'm not saying just the power, but the love of God to people too, because that's the most important thing. But I want to thank everybody for listening today. This has been an awesome show. We got to tell y'all about things about healing, about the fallbacks and all that. And it's really no fallbacks. It's just, you know, once you think it's a fallback, it's really not. It's just the enemy messing with you. Just pick up, you know, your mat and keep on going. God will show up. He will reveal himself. You find that one person is hard to pray for, keep praying for them, and then go to the next one. Because I guarantee you, you'll see a manifestation of healing through one of them. It always happens. You know, just keep doing what you're doing, and you will see results. And if you want any more information, as I said a while ago, just, you know, message the Healing Light Show, and we'll be happy to get with you. Frank, as always, I'm glad that you was here with me today.
Stan, everything was wonderful as usual. It's always such a pleasure and really inspiration to work with you and just give glory to God. We love you and your family, and we always pray for you and the best, and thank you again for this opportunity to just really spread the good news throughout this part of our country.
Amen, amen. And I want to tell anybody that's not received the Lord Jesus Christ to go ahead and say this prayer with me. Just hold your hands out and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of all my sins. I hand all my sins to you and your cross. I believe that you died on the cross for me, Lord Jesus. I believe that you rose on the third day for me, Lord. I accept you in my heart for now and for eternity. I ask this now in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, the Lord Jesus has came into your heart, and he will be with you for eternity, and he has given you a ticket to heaven. And and one of the things I tell people is to live like it. Once he gave you that ticket and he's came into your heart, live like it. And that's always the most important thing. And I want to thank everybody for listening to me today. And we will see you next Wednesday here on the Healing Light Show. God bless every one of you.